This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com, the official credit union of 3 and Out. They got you covered for all your banking needs, mortgage, savings, checking, whole nine yards, HELOC, boat loan, car loan, and their customer service is unmatched. The Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. All right, back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We've got Philly up next. What's up, Phil? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Here's a conversation about the SEC officiating and, of course, Tennessee's administration and how they're handling it. It's Dante Plowman's an odd bird. She was in the thick of that COVID stuff over there and stirring it up, and then she extended the former and Jeremy Pruitt both, and then she's also the one who says, let's not pay Pruitt off, and this is just turning everything over to the NCAA, and the thing hadn't got taken care of yet.
Who was last chancellor they hired that had a clue? I mean, it goes back before my time.
And you talk about all this, Tennessee fans have been abused by SEC fan bases over the years. I can give you a multitude of examples. Recently, Florida throwing urine and oranges and everything else on us. Auburn did it back in the 1980s and 90s. It's Vanderbilt used to throw oranges at us at the basketball games.
I was about to say, they can spot the football crowd out pretty well there. That'd be risky.
Yeah, and then Bernard King had a cigarette butt burnt in his head up there at Rupp Arena, but the last game in Memorial Coliseum in Kentucky. So it's funny the SEC office don't do anything in these other schools, do they? And y'all talking about that South Carolina game, I watched that. And I watched an Ole Miss game against Auburn. Auburn won on some controversial calls, and they pelted the field with bottles and everything else.
No, they wouldn't do that there. And they just I think that was last year, right? They just let it go.
Yeah. Well, they get us, though.
Of course.
And then the main problem is the officiating, and it never has got better yet in football or basketball.
Yep. It just seems like far too often, Philly, not only is the game poorly officiated, but we then discover some underlying, you know, deeper issue. Who was the referee that had all the LSU stuff on? Mm-hmm. It was Anthony Jordan.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he blows the couple calls late in the game. He gets Grant Williams fouled out as Tennessee's at LSU, and then after the game, you see pictures of him on his own Facebook with LSU gear on. The what's it? Curls. Lives in Birmingham.
Yeah.
One of the other guys on the crew.
Played for Alabama?
Played for Alabama. Played football for Alabama.
This guy plays golf at the country club with Bama's biggest boosters. I get it that conferences want to, you know, like Ole Miss, one loss to Alabama. They didn't play their best game. They were on the road. I'm certain as a conference, whether you'd ever admit it publicly or not, you're looking at Ole Miss right now and saying they are our second-best chance to, well, maybe third-best chance to get a team into the college football playoff. And if Bama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game, which I think we all assume is what's going to happen, having Ole Miss kind of be right there, still affords the SEC the opportunity to get two into the college football playoff, which means more money for the conference. And I understand thinking that way. However, that cannot impact officiating, punishment. Like, you just can't do that. I mean, I understand you want to be quote-unquote good and have those teams into the – but you can't kind of kick dirt on the teams that aren't quite there yet just because, well, it's not in the best interest of the conference. If that's the case, then things will never change. The rich just get richer, and the poor people get stepped on. It doesn't make any sense.
Is it true that that most of the officiating crew has in the SEC have some tie to the Bama?
Well, what it is that – a lot of them move to Birmingham because they want to be closer to the SEC offices, and so then they probably do end up meeting people that are close
but
to Bama.
But why do they need to move closer? Why does it have to be Birmingham? I don't understand that.
It's where the offices are,
but,
man.
But they don't go to the offices, or they don't have to. They go to games. They get on airplanes. Like, I don't understand that.
They get their checks, you know what I mean?
They got direct deposit at the SEC? Come on. Are we that far behind? I mean, they are in Alabama.
Well, they may get them another check, one kind of, you know, entices things a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. If that's the case, that's why they would need to be close, because some things you wouldn't write a check for. You just give them a McDonald's bag.
Speaking of the Western Division, if Auburn wins out, Auburn will go to the SEC championship game.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Auburn controls their own destiny in the West, as does Alabama. At this point,
and they got Alabama at Auburn. I don't think it's going to happen, but
but that's the type of thing that happens.
Yeah, those are the years that it does happen, Philly. But
yeah,
no, you're right.
Alabama is vulnerable.
Yeah, they are. A&M proved that.
I still think Georgia's vulnerable with that quarterback. I don't think Winston Bennett the fourth or whatever his name is. I don't think he can win a national championship with him as quarterback. I don't care how good their defense is. Sooner or later, you're going to get behind. You got to have a quarterback win the game.
Yeah, it just depends on who they run into.
Yeah.
At this point, I haven't seen. Yeah, there's not a 2019 LSU or a 2020 Alabama offense out there that you just feel like, man, like nobody can stop them. Georgia's defense is easily the best side of the ball in college football. I'm not saying you're wrong, Philly, and you know, especially if he were the one to make a mistake and throw a pick six or something like that. I mean, Bama did it for a long time, winning natties with game managers.
That's what I was going to say.
They also had super playmakers at receiver and running back. I think Georgia's really good at running back. I don't think they're that good at receiver.
They should get some guys back, though, as the season progresses.
They keep saying that, and I don't see them out there. But, I mean, if they do, then, yeah, maybe things get better. If they were to get if they get Pickens and JT Daniels back, you know, they get more potent for sure, but their defense.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Washington doesn't get the ball more. I guess
who?
Darnell Washington, tight end.
Yeah, he could be starting.
Is he even with the team
down there?
Yeah, it's
strength.
Gilbert, the one.
That's right. Yeah,
Eric Gilbert.
But Georgia, really, the only two. There's only two teams that probably can beat them. That's Florida. Florida could beat them in a given situation if they can turn Georgia over, and of course Alabama in the championship game if they get there. I don't think anybody else in the SEC can beat them.
No. I agree with that.
And hopefully Hooker is hopefully he will get him ready for Kentucky. I would not play anybody. I'd take a 50-0 loss to Alabama and save our team for Kentucky.
I'm with you, Philly. I hate to be that guy, but you know, people are saying, oh, maybe Hooker can get back this week. If it's me,
why play him this week?
That's what I'm saying. Even if he's back and 100% healthy, which he won't be, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I hate it that that's what happens. I mean, and you do have a bye week after that, so maybe you can get some guys out there until the game gets out of hand, assuming it does, which I think we all. Was the line 27.5 yesterday, Davey?
Yeah, I saw it at 28 open.
Okay.
Oh, I figured it'd be more than that. But when is this NCAA thing going to be cleared up for Tennessee? Y'all have any idea?
Well, hopefully it takes as long as it does for them to, you know, pop Will Wade and nothing happens for a long time. But no timeline there. I mean, didn't they say at the beginning of the season we're nearing the end of the investigation and blah, 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 blah,
well, that's
blah,
just
blah.
The investigation.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, that's one step in the process. So is the investigation over? Because technically you're always nearing the end of an investigation once the investigation starts.
I haven't seen anything on
million.
It.
We spent $1 million, didn't we, to legal fees, right?
Probably over $1 million at this point.
Yeah, that's right. And
how much do they give Fulmer to walk out the door?
I
don't remember.
1.7?
Well,
something like that.
They're going.
Kevin Steele got $950.
Jerry put some money. I guarantee you that he'll get a settlement and he'll get some money because they did not fire Philip Fulmer, which was a major mistake. See.
Thanks, Philip. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, going back to his original point, Donde Plowman, she's in a tough spot, but it does frustrate you when your own administration turns against you, but it shouldn't be all that surprising, really. A, there's not much else they can do in this situation, but what makes it feel so frustrating is she hasn't been here that long. Like, you know what I'm saying? She can try to say she understands, and she can take the pictures with all the fans that she meets before the game and all the former. She doesn't get it. And that's not to say she's stupid. She just hasn't been here. She hasn't been through it. There's no way she could understand the frustration. Same with Danny White. Danny White's probably saying, man, what the? I've been in athletics for a long time. I've never seen anything like we've never seen anything like this. It's been going on for a long time. And if Danny White's as good as, we all thought he was and, his peers thought he was, then hopefully he can have the muscle to get some things moving on situations like this. The conference has an officiating problem. They have for years. And Greg Sankey saying that we have a limited pool of qualified officials is the worst excuse for the SEC I think I've ever heard for any topic. You can attract Oklahoma and Texas. You can attract billion-dollar TV deals from SEC, ABC, and Disney. You can attract all of those things. Excuse me. Dealing with that cold I got. Mm-hmm. You can't attract qualified officials. You can't make 100% sure that your contests are officiated accurately and fairly. You can't get a couple extra cameras in stadiums so that you have the opposite field angle on plays. You can't punish officials if they make mistakes because that would look bad for the league. This looks bad for the league, and it's your fault. If you can't find them, create them, train them, recruit them, pay them full time. And don't tell me that's too much money. Money is not your problem. Your product right now is your problem. Unless your name's Alabama or Georgia right now, you don't know what you're going to get going into a game when it comes to officiating. And the problem is the SEC really doesn't care. Once the top tier has been established every single year, it doesn't matter where you are unless you're on that tier. They don't care about the game. What they're going to do is sit back, let the game happen. Fans get mad. Whatever. They're not going to help us this year anyway. They may not even make a bowl. Who cares? We don't want to upset our officials. We don't want to have everybody talking about our officiating nationally. That's a bad look for the conference. This is a bad look for the conference. And it's on you.
No. It's on Tennessee fans for not being more respectable and upstanding citizens.
Well, when you light the fuse and then stand back and don't do anything, you can't blame the people for, standing too close to it. Like, that is just ridiculous. This is your fault, Greg Sankey. Maybe not your fault, but it's your fault you haven't done anything to address it and fix it. There's no transparency in officiating. The officials are defended, and anybody who asks a question is told, don't you dare, you peasant. How dare you question officiating? Well, we don't have enough of them. You're getting multi-million-dollar deals left and right. You can't pay them full-time, train them in the offseason. You can't do that. What does an official make a game? It's like $3,500, $4,500, something like that.
I don't know.
So if an official does, 12, 14 games a year, that's pretty, decent little side money for these guys who already have another job. So make it worth their while. Hold them accountable. Off-season training, in-season training.
The excuse-making is the worst part, especially when you have the resources the SEC has. Great leaders don't do that. I don't know. The founder and CEO of where I have another business, that's the best thing he does is through, even when he really did face true adversity on his journey, it taught him, great leaders just take it and find a way and figure out a way to make it better instead of blaming something.
Yeah.
And when times are when there really is an issue, you still don't bring it up. You say, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to figure out how to do this. And Greg Sankey is just – he's gotten to that perpetual dog and pony show situation now where it's all about optics instead of substance. You know, this is not about making sure that the next cheerleader doesn't get hit by a beer can or that the next, you know, support staff member doesn't get hit by a bottle of dip spit or the next official doesn't get by a water bottle. It has nothing to do with that. It's about showing to the Twitter sphere and the Facebook crew and the and the media members that the SEC, it just means more. We'll start acting like it. We'll go right back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines here on this Optimism Tuesday edition of 3 and Out. We got DR Vol up first this segment. What's up, DR? You're on 3 and Out.
What's going on, guys? I'm going to start out talking about the Titans. Do y'all think the Julio Jones signing was worth it?
Yes. I still think you're going to need him. I mean, I know it's a hamstring injury, and you're just hoping you can get through. I mean, Titans, like, they have been battling the injury bug all year. Caleb Farley, torn ACL last night. Lawan dealing with that concussion. Fortunately, it's not worse than that, especially after seeing a guy get carted off. But the secondary has been difficult, but he does add an extra element. I mean, you saw the catch last night, the toe drag swag. Like, he can still make those plays. You don't win that Seattle game if it's not for him. And
he got robbed of a touchdown in that one.
So it's one of those things. I know right now he's not been healthy. Now, granted, if he suffers some really, really bad injury, you could come back and say, yeah, it's not been worth it. But I think looking at everything from where this team is set, you got to win now. You went out, you made a big acquisition for a guy who can still be an elite receiver. You just got to make sure he stays on the field. But right now, for what they were able to get him for, I still think it was worth it. Hopefully it all pays off in the end.
It blows my mind, man, that we can beat that team last night but get beat by the Jets.
Dude, like, that's the biggest thing about Mike Vrabel teams. They play to their competition, and so you know you got a chance going into every game, but there's those you can lose. And, I mean, like, talking about the receivers, if Julio and AJ, one of them's able to play against the Jets, I don't think you lose that game.
Guys, have we seen Vols Picks complaint today?
No.
Man, we're all blocked. Somebody's got to
see. Yeah, I gotta get screenshots of that stuff, man. He's blocked. He's blocked all of us.
Yeah, he tweeted it. Somebody tweeted it at me. It's amazing. He did not like how they illuminated the power T when the team ran through it because he said that's a green power T.
What?
What?
Yeah, you know how the field is green?
What color is the field when the lights aren't on it?
That's my question. I sent it as a group message. You have to look. That blows my mind.
That's impressive. Mental gymnastics by, wow, great stuff.
Chess, not checkers.
I think a lot of people at the end, like, they thought Ole Miss was taking shots. They were doing that in reference to checker kneeling. I don't know if anyone really picked up on that.
Guys, this is what I'm going to say before I get off here. I hope these people, and we have a lot in our fan base, that are all about conference loyalty and, you know, they just, conference pride, SEC pride and all that. I hope they're learning the lesson that this conference does not care about us. Because you know it's coming.
It's like, not just us. It's like I said in the last segment. It's if you're not in that top tier, if you don't have a chance to make a New Year's Six or a playoff bowl, like they really – they don't care about you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that this wasn't the marquee matchup in the conference this week, but how does Tennessee hosting a top 15 team with a returning head coach not get something better than SEC Network and the worst crew in the league? How is that possible?
Well, like you just said, one of their babies was playing the same time as us, Georgia.
No, Georgia played at 3:30.
No, it was Alabama. Alabama, Mississippi State should have been on SEC Network.
But they're not. But that's what his point is. They're not going to put Alabama on SEC Network. How dare?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's just I'm agreeing with him. I was just making sure we had the right game.
Well, then, like, what time was South Carolina Vandy?
4.
Could we not have gotten the 4 o'clock game?
That's the worst crew. That's even worse than the 7:30.
Was SEC that game Network. Officiated worse than ours?
Has no, we could have had a different crew. I'm just saying you'd have worse cameras.
Has that crew been well? Again, that goes back to what I said. Like that's the we can't afford cameras now.
I don't know why they didn't put the crappiest crew on the crappiest game. Though.
You just got $250,000 from Tennessee. How about a couple cameras? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pathetic. Again, I hope these people that because you're going to see it when Georgia plays national championship against somebody if it's not Bama. Well, we got to pull for Georgia. It's good for the conference.
Absolutely not.
Our conference can go to hell. I'm serious. I hate that conference pride crap. I don't get the mentality. Alabama's been dominant for 10 years, and we've sucked for 10 years, so obviously it doesn't help.
Mm. So, yeah, feels like the money's going to be good no matter what with the new TV deal, so who cares?
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to get negative on Optimism Tuesday, but it's really kind of pissed me off this week, honestly.
No, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not optimistic, but this is something that needs to be addressed. And I'm actually surprised. Obviously, you've got a lot of people, Tennessee fan. But you're seeing a lot of people say, guys, yes, you shouldn't do that. And that's where I'm standing. I'm not someone who's going to throw things. I don't agree with that. But why did it happen? That's the question, right? Why did this happen? How did this happen? And the SEC's answer is, Tennessee didn't do enough. Oh, Tennessee sells alcohol. No. If the game is officiated properly and there isn't a history of these types of mishandlings from officials, then that doesn't happen.
I just don't understand why they're not saying we're going to evaluate everything that led to this situation and just include the officiating in that process. We're going to evaluate Tennessee's handling. We're going to
because they just won't. Because they will not do anything that even gives the
illusion,
the hint, the illusion that the SEC isn't the best at everything all the time. I would say if you ask Greg Sankey, like, how do you rank all the officiating crews, he would say all of our crews are equally good. Because he will not say that one is better than the other. And what's sad to me is he will not say we can get better and we will get better. That's what's frustrating to me.
Right. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Will up next on 3 and Out. What's up, buddy?
Hey, morning, guys. Okay, so I'm a long time, first time, I guess, for y'all's show.
Oh, welcome aboard, sir.
Oh, I listen every morning. Okay, so a couple talking points. So, going back to SEC officiating, I got a couple. I'll try and keep it as quick as I can. But anyways, I just got a lot of them.
Take your time.
So, in regards, there used to be a crew. We had them for the 2016 Florida game, talking about SEC officials, that would like read you the rule book for every flag, every replay, every booth replay. Y'all remember who I'm talking about? White Hat, and he's been gone for like the past 2 years. He's kind of got an underbite. I know that doesn't really describe it, but like he was the most thorough referee. And I know for a fact we had him at the Tennessee Florida game in 2016 when we beat him, but he's just gone. And I thought that he was one of the better ones. So I don't know what happened to him. I guess he was too good. But that's neither here nor there. So then the second thing is like with these officials, so I don't understand why they don't remove the potential bias like they did with Anthony Jordan. Because they did that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a basketball referee, another basketball referee. I think his last name's Shea. He's bald, and he was banned from Thompson Bowling for the longest time. And he's a CPA in Gainesville. And I think he blew a call in a Tennessee-Florida game, too. But, like, if I'm a company, just any company, and there's an inherent bias, like think about it with like teachers or whatever, you remove the teacher from the class that they teach when they give an exam because you don't want there to be any inherent bias. So I mean, I don't understand any of that. Why they don't do a better job of switching people around? So that's not even an option. But until these referees, get themselves out of more concerned about themselves and more concerned about what's actually going on, then it's not going to get fixed. Which leads me to my little story here. So when I was a student at UT, I won't date myself because I don't want to give it away, but I graduated a few years ago. And there was a specific Tennessee-Vanderbilt basketball game. And I'm sure y'all know which one I'm talking about.
where there may or may not have been a student that was courtside that was letting Pat Adams have it the whole time. And that may or may not have been somebody that I know. But anyway, so he came up to, I guess, this person during a timeout before he was that person was asked to leave the stadium. He said, I explicitly remember this. He said, do you know who you're talking to? It was him and Doug Shouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, yeah, we know who we're talking to. And he goes, we've done X amount of Final Fours, X amount of national championships, X amount of this. And I was like, what does that have to do with it? It doesn't matter.
Right.
It should be about you. It should be about, but I mean, I just couldn't believe that, you know, when they're botching these calls, we're like, that's blatant. And he was, and the first thing that they go to is, you know, oh, well, it's more about us. And I just, that just, I was, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, really? That's what we're going to go to. But
yeah, look at how great I am. Don't, that's what I'm saying. Anytime you question them, they just bring up, you know, accolades or there's no, yeah, we might have made a mistake there. It's, yeah, but look at how good we've been before, or look at how good, yeah, it's, they just tout the success of the conference, but it's just, it's all hollow. They don't want to take any responsibility.
I agree. And the last little comment I have, and I'll get off here, I really wish that, you know, with this super conference or whatever the direction of the conference is going, the best thing that they could ever do is do what they do in basketball, which still isn't great, but they just have a pool of officials, you know, like an alliance, and you rarely have the same person twice. And if you do, then it's somebody like Pat Adams or Shouse or, you know, something like that. And then you scramble everybody around, and everybody's interchangeable, and, you know, you have people doing, like, you know, the Chattanooga game, and they may be a good crew, and then you have people you've never seen before. But, you know, I think until they do that and there's just a bigger alliance and a bigger pool, then it's just going to – we're just going to keep getting screwed. So.
Thanks for the
call.
Thanks
for the call. You attract better officials, one of Stripes said this, by, you know, paying them. This does not need to be a side gig. I'm sorry. The games are too important. They matter too much. The conference is making way too much money to part-time officials. And then I cannot get over the we have a limited official pool. That to me, that tells me they just don't care. It's like, well, we got the best guys that we can't make them better. Get more. Again, train, recruit, steal from other conferences if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Educate.
Steal other
them.
Teams from them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can attract Oklahoma and Texas. You can't attract a guy to ref games for good money. Are you kidding me? It's lazy and it's lame. And if it just means more, I'd like to see him start proving it.
This segment of the program brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com and make your appointment. Take care of your teeth right here in West Knoxville, locally owned and operated. Doctors Malone and Costa, they got you covered at Knoxville Smiles. Tell them you heard about them on Fan Run Radio. knoxvillesmiles.com for all the info and to make an appointment.
Matt Loeffler was
Loeffler.
Loeffler, I don't know. Was the head referee for 2016 Florida. You said he did the LSU-Auburn game a couple weeks
ago?
Well,
there's an article. I'm not going to click on it, but the little blurb from October 2nd, 2021, right? So that's, what, 17 days ago. Says veteran SC official Matt Loeffler will be the referee for LSU's football game against Auburn on Saturday in Baton Rouge. So that game's already happened, right? That was LSU-Auburn... last week, 2 weeks ago? I don't know. I don't have the schedule memorized. But I guess we just haven't seen him in a while for whatever reason. That would have been on that day, Saturday, October 2nd, the game that Auburn won 24-19. So
Look, I'm not saying these guys are that bad every week, but when they're bad, you know, I mean, if you're that bad once or twice, there's just no accountability.
No, there's nothing.
They got suspended when?
The week after Memphis touchdown. And didn't bring it back to the inadvertent whistle, didn't make the call correct to begin with. I mean, it's just crazy.
Do we think with all the outrage and actual, you know, again, there's a lot of blue checks saying, oh, the Tennessee fans. There are a lot of people going at SEC officiating. Is this the one where Sankey says, man, you know what, maybe we do need to do something? Or if because it didn't happen to Alabama, it doesn't really matter. Like, should we start a GoFundMe to pay off some refs for a big Alabama game that they lose because of officiating for this to happen? Because I'll donate to that. It's like, oh, you're not Alabama? Oh, you're not the ranked team that got screwed? Oh, it really doesn't matter to us. Sorry, move on. That's what's so frustrating to me. If you're not helping make the conference extra money in the postseason, they really just don't care.
Well, that's a good point in a weird way, even though I disagree with people throwing stuff on the field.
No, I do too.
It might be the only way that anything changes because, sure, they're not going to admit it publicly.
Yeah. But shouldn't they? Like, is it that bad of a – wouldn't that be a good look for the league to say we want to have the best possible officiating in each and every game possible? We are going to do everything we can to attract more qualified officials. We're going to pay the most. We're going to train the most. We're going to educate the most. We're going to give them the most compared to any other conference to make sure that we have the best crews available week in and week out.
Yeah, you'd think so. Well, Will's boy is still officiating. I found him on the videos. There you go.
Matt Loeffler. Loeffler.
Whatever.
It's L-O-E. I don't know if the O's silent or the E's silent. We're really not sure. Did you see that Josh Heupel was asked what he thinks recruits will remember from the game over the weekend? That's like, oh, do you think the last minute of the game really spoils it for recruits?
I love how the media members are just all
they're
like,
baiting him. Yeah, they're just begging for him to say, oh, it was such a terrible. We were terrified and scared, and we just didn't know if we'd make it out of there alive. I told him to call the game, and they didn't. You see what he said? He's like, no, they're going to remember the first 59 minutes. They're going to remember that place. And then at the end, after a pause, did you see him like dig deep and say, I've been in a lot of competitive arenas. Mm-hmm. As a coach and as a player, and then he did the thing where you kind of point off into no man's land, just point into space and say, there is nothing better that I've ever seen than Neyland Stadium on Saturday night. It was a mic drop moment. Someone asked yesterday, did we get a VFL moment from Heupel during the game? I don't think he got one during the game. I think yesterday at that press conference he gave one. That wasn't something that he had prepared to say, right? That wasn't a, oh yeah, I've got to make sure I get that in. That was I was thinking about it, and damn. That was good.
Yeah.
Even Lane Kiffin was very complimentary of the environment, even with all that went on.
That's so, what's so funny is the people that actually matter, people in the building, the teams, the recruits that will make the teams better or worse, you know, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of those people really they at least – aren't as agitated as mad media guy on Twitter, you know?
Yeah.
That's just not real life. I mean, you got a lot of people involved Twitter have I think finally kind of realized that you just got to just block them out. Just don't pay them any attention. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that it's almost like you got to invert. Like I mentioned, it's, like some SEC schools have thrown crap on the field in other games. It obviously wasn't a game that was tight late when everybody was watching, so no one really cared, and it didn't take as long to get the stuff off the field and get the game back going, so it wasn't a thing. So, I mean, really, that should almost be the strategy with some of this stuff. And I'm with you. You said earlier in the show, like, if Sankey had just made a statement and then moved on and not – like eventually their calls for action – like, once somebody says, you better do something about that, and you just turn your head and don't do anything, what else can they say?
They can just yell it at you again, but eventually they're going to move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he almost made it worse by now anytime one thing gets thrown onto the field, oh, here we go again. Here we go. Those SEC fans are crazy. Officials are in danger. Maybe they're going to get fined. Oh my! So now you've created this whole thing.
Listen, smile, agree, and then do whatever the bleep you were going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like people don't – like you have – good leaders have to understand that you can't ignore people. You can't just not do anything. You can make the decision to not respond if that's the appropriate response.
Why keep it quiet? Why privatize all that?
What do you mean? They're being quiet on the wrong stuff and being public on the wrong stuff.
Well, and they're saying, you know, out of one side of their, at least I hope this is what's happening, right? You're saying, oh yeah, Tennessee bad, officials good. I hope behind the scenes that they'd be doing something to try to improve what's going on. But if that is the case, why wouldn't you say that you're doing stuff to improve officiating? It's like, well, they're part-time guys, so we don't want to give them too hard of a time. That's your fault. So make them full-time, you know, employees of the SEC or whatever, and hold them accountable. Also, is it true that schools pay for the officials? It's the schools that pay?
No, I don't know.
Not the conference?
No clue. Never.
Fascinating.
Into that.
Heupel was asked if he submits controversial officiating situations or decisions to the SEC after the game. He said, no, you turn them in on Sunday. I thought that was kind of funny. Even though the game did end technically on Sunday. He was asked about the Matt Corral scoop and score. He said it looked like they were trying to run a delay pop pass over the middle. You understand what my stance on exactly what transpired during the play. Two guys, two officials are chasing the ball into the end zone and then corner on the back end of it. One of those situations where it's not reviewable based on what they told me. We talked about that yesterday. By saying it was forward progress, they couldn't go to the booth, which is genius if you're them. Because then you get the result you want without review proving you're an idiot. You just say, forward progress for the guy who never went forward. Genius. Makes no sense, man. Quarterback takes a five-step drop and says, no one's open, I'm here. Play dead. Forward progress is stopped. He gave himself up. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yep, that one's it's gonna live in infamy. It's gonna be like Jabbar Gaffney. It's gonna sit there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
who knows what the game looks like if that play is counted? But
you might win big, you might lose big, you might you know, win close, you might lose close. Who knows? I understand why coaches tell their players, hey, refs don't determine the game. There's lots of other plays we can make, because that is true. It's also true that those calls, especially big momentum and 7-point plays, like, do determine games. Both of those things can be true at the same time.
It is Optimism Tuesday, so I'll throw this out there. Maybe losing this game in the grand scheme of things was a good thing. Maybe we needed the fans to absolutely trash the field. Maybe some good will come from this.
You got more on that, or is that it?
I don't know. It's Optimism Tuesday. I'm sure there's something there.
Boy, you're worthless.
Final segment, hour number two, Optimism Tuesday. I don't know if Davey's really right, but I don't think losing that game is really any type of, like, huge hindrance to the rebuild. Or, I mean, I don't know that it helps, but I don't know that it really hurts either.
Well, I was speaking more for the conference at large.
The fact that that you had that stage and performed at least well enough for it to be, you know, a game right down to the wire and to be kind of back in the national spotlight in that moment
on SEC Network
are all good things. I don't think the trash in the field thing hurt your program at all. I mean, it's probably just a net zero. And then,
what do you mean we lost $250,000?
And then moving forward, I mean, they'd have wasted that on something else. If it wasn't for that. So, you know, moving forward, it's more about, you know, how do you perform this weekend, and then in 2 weeks after that. I mean, you still have the two games you just have to win, and then you have a great opportunity to go to Kentucky and get a win there. And then you've got the two where, you know, maybe, just maybe, if one of those teams plays a really crappy game and you play one of your best games, you can make a game of it and be in it. It's happened before. Not so much to Alabama, but it's happened to Georgia before. So definitely doesn't like this Georgia team's going to have much of a letdown, but stranger things have happened. Usually teams undefeated in college football always have that one game where for whatever reason they get out of sync, they don't play well, maybe they just turn it over a few times. And a lot of national title teams, even back in the old days when you kind of had to go undefeated to get there, they always had that one scare game, you know, that they've survived. And there's tons and tons and tons of teams over the course of college football that no one remembers because they lost the game that they really should have won and they weren't there at the end. So, you know, who knows?
All right, now what?
Well, now Tennessee's got to figure out a way to like rally, patch the roster together to survive Saturday, and then hopefully after a bye week, you know, bounce back with a much healthier squad in a game you can win as you go to Kentucky, right? I mean, I don't know there's a lot you can really do. I don't know there's a lot you should even really try to do that's outside the box to try and beat Alabama. I think you just use that game as a, hey, boys, here's what it's going to feel like to play against a team that we want to start beating next year and the year after that. You know, like, we want to be,
right.
This is how it feels when you go up against a team that is at the highest level. This is going to be a good, this is going to be a great experience. I want to see you, you know, fight for every single inch in this football game. And I mean, I think everybody knows it'll be probably, you know, it'll be an insurmountable challenge, but I still will say it's a good one to go through. I mean, there's tons and tons of different situations where when a team climbs the mountain and eventually gets over the hump, they have to kind of experience it first, you know? I mean, what the Russians, like, destroyed the American hockey team, you know, leading into the Olympics, but at least let them kind of feel
Soviet
how it was supposed
Union.
To be. You see that a lot from players who play against a team as a true freshman or sophomore, and it goes poorly, and then after they get some experience, and they, okay, now, and then they beat that team later or whatever. But, I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, just move on from all this bottle throwing bull crap. It's over. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it matters not in the grand scheme. It just, it's like I said yesterday, it really points out the people who are just itching for anything to say negative about Tennessee as a whole and Tennessee's fan base. The Pete Thamels, Pat Fortys, Dan Wolf. I mean, that's just what they want to do. They want to lump all Tennessee fans into this thing.
It gets them clicks. We understand the power of all fan base. That's why they keep doing it.
There's a lot of things, though, that get you clicks, but it seems personal with these guys.
It's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
Because they're the losers that grew up. Everybody always picked on them. And so now they think they have a voice.
We don't know that.
Nah, Pat, 40. Come on.
He was a loser.
We don't know that.
He's a loser.
I mean, he went to Northwestern.
He still is.
I'm not saying he's not a loser now. I'm just saying I don't know that he was bullied because he was a dork in high school.
Man, they're all like Darren Revelle.
You mean Karen?
Can't say that. We'll see what happens. 250 grand in a review of the policies.
And they might be nice guys. Like, don't get me wrong, but they're losers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why was Tennessee the first team to get fined for this again? Why was Ole Miss not fined a few years back? Does it just not always seem like it's like we get the
first of everything?
Because yeah, it just because I mean because this was just a time that they felt like it needed to be done.
Did it cross the line?
Mm-hmm. No real reason.
I mean, the $250,000 is kind of nothing. It's almost like the SEC's. It's like we're gonna fine and punish Tennessee, but it's not really that much of a punishment.
No,
it's less than percentage wise. I mean, it's a nothing on the bottom line.
Thought it would be a lot worse.
That's the thing. It can't be really. There's no precedent for a number more than that.
All right, let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We've got Gilbert on the horn. What's up, Gilbert? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going.
Good. Well, I was just listening this morning down in Atlanta. I was at the game this weekend and sitting in Section E, so I was above all of the ruckus. But it was a fun time. Wish we could have won. But after the game, saw what all of the national media types were saying about us. And, it obviously makes the blood boil. But I got some personal experience with Pat Forty since you guys were just talking about him. My brother swam with his son at Georgia, and I've met Pat multiple times at swim meets and sat next to him at SEC championships. The guy is a total jerk. He's a total loser, and I think that he's that way because, not to get too personal, but like his whole family is kind of that way. They're just nerdy. They suck. They're not nice to people. They don't have a positive bone in their body. I sat next to Pat and was talking to him about Liberty moving up to Division I football in probably 2015 or 16. And he said it was the dumbest thing ever. It was a waste of money. They would never be any good. And watching them go borderline undefeated last year gave me a lot of joy because it just proves guys like that wrong who just want to be a thorn in everybody's side so that they can say, I told you so, but they never really can. So when we're good again and we're smashing people in the face on the football field, it's going to be amazing to tell guys like that to just shove it because he absolutely sucks.
Now we know. Pat Forty, not a good dude.
That's not a good dude.
No, that's not surprising. I just don't know what he was like 30 years ago. But no, right now, clearly, word I can't say.
Usually if you're an ass 30 years ago, you're still one today.
I guess the point is, I heard you saying that, you know, maybe he wasn't that way 30 years ago, but he did go to Northwestern, so.
He's very quick to let everybody know that anytime he can.
Well, you know, all of them seem to come across that way. And, I know that your station has a special relationship with some of the guys over at The Athletic. I don't want to name names. But, you know, the guys that were specifically on the Tennessee beat were the reason that I canceled my subscription 2 years ago because it just became insufferable. And I saw the direction that their coverage was going. And now that they're not on the Tennessee beat directly, they're just dragging us through the mud. And it's pathetic.
Yeah, I love it when people who just don't get it come in and experience it for a year and think they can just pinpoint all the problems. And it always seems to be the fans' fault. It's hilarious, really.
Yeah, you covered Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, and somehow you understand what's going on in Knoxville.
After totally 6 months on the job, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally the same, and you definitely understand what goes on in East Tennessee. It's, the stakes are much, much higher in Lubbock, I'm sure.
Right.
Thanks for the call, Gilbert. We'll come back, kick off hour 3 next.
Fan Run.